And welcome to the program on this Monday, September 16th. We made it through another weekend. This is Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm meteorologist Justin Storm alongside Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Dean Wysock, he saw a danger noodle out on a golf course over the weekend.
So he thought he'd go explore other courses to clear them for safety reasons.
He wanted to go look for more danger noodles because when he went to go grab it, it hissed at him.
It's
and
a nope
he
rope.
Was a little frightened by it. Yeah. So now he's looking for more tame danger noodle nope ropes
at a course
here in town.
He was in Bismarck golfing, and I said, do not go in the rough, and you'll see those things slithering across the cart path. And he was like, why would you see that? And I'm like, wow, you are from Nebraska.
Facts.
I hope he's listening because I really appreciate this time for us to talk.
He's shanking one from tee number five into the fourth.
Yeah, there's no way it's going well. It's been a busy day around here. I mean, I've only been here a little while, but
it's been going, you know. It's a Monday for sure. You're getting back into the groove and well, there's always a couple of curveballs that get thrown your way while you're doing it.
Had a little cleanup on stuff from Big Iron. I brought back, you know, all the booth items, etc. And
you got that thing, you returned that thing, right?
You're going to have to narrow that down. But So one of our great friends with IntelliFarms, Chris Baralt, he was on air with us last Tuesday, and we talked about the fact that we have a bushel or yield contest anyway for our Here We Grow Corn project. So again, please go to our Facebook page and give us your idea of what you think we're going to be yielding for corn. And Chris had given me one of the grain gauges that we're going to give away as a display item for our table. And so I've got that. I got to take that back to Chris because I don't want to be held responsible for keeping track of these things until the time is right.
We got all sorts of stuff. We could put it back in the safe in the office.
I probably could.
We could do that.
Well, we'll see
where all the other goodies are at.
Exactly. We're going to see what we can do.
Yeah. Remember that time I forgot the combo? Man, wasn't that embarrassing?
It's a terrible situation. I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
As you think about like combinations, big things, expensive things. You know, as we do Here We Grow videos, maybe one of the things that we should do before harvest is like a little shopping, as though we were going out to the dealership and looking at what is the price of equipment right now. Because I think that would be fascinating for some folks to realize what's going on there.
We'll just get a catalog and we'll start flipping through the pages.
We can. I think that would be great.
I think people would be floored.
Yes.
Absolutely floored.
Now, this is going to sound weird, but secondary combine market, so if you know, used combines are actually have really come down in price versus where we were coming right out of the pandemic. We've caught up with production. There's a number of combines on the lot. If you want to upgrade, I don't think it would be too hard to make a switch. So I don't know if you want to be the happy owner of a new combine. Maybe this would work for you.
Just having a conversation the other day that we should buy some land and start farming.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, I was like, well, today, right now is probably not the best time to get into farming.
That depends on your situation.
Someone who doesn't have money.
Okay. And might need, you know, some land to rent and a loan and a few things. You're going to want to make good friends with a banker.
You're going to want to just wait this one out and see where it goes.
Maybe, maybe not. On Friday on Twitter, I host a space that's always open to those who want to listen and join in. And I was visiting with a gal from Oklahoma. She and her husband were in their early 20s, and they decided, this was 7-8 years ago, they decided to just start a custom combining business. And she said it was with the good graces of a lot of family members who let them borrow equipment to get started, and they found a banker who was an excellent mentor for them and really helped her and her husband make good decisions. Even after he retired, they used him as a sounding board. So I think that matters too, is talking to someone who's got the experience and helping you do better. So that's what you could have.
Might have to do that. Find some land and start farming. Hey, speaking of farming, I was in the backyard the other day. I was picking all my tomatoes. By the way, I told you this off air, but I'll tell you again. I broke my record for the biggest tomato I've picked.
You've got quite a year going up there.
It's pretty good. And we showed this the last time we were on here, talking about garden wars and whatnot. And I weighed this one. This one is a lot bigger than the first one. It's 2.4 pounds,
That's
and it was
impressive.
On a branch of three, and the whole branch weighed 5.6.
That doesn't happen very often.
For an average-sized tomato, half pound?
Probably.
probably around there. I'd say a big tomato is maybe a pound.
I haven't had any really awesome tomatoes this year. I have like an early girl or aroma, and I feel like some of them got really large, and they're not. They're kind of meaty, but they seem to have a lot of water content in them, which is
mine
not
were
what
a
I
little
wanted.
Watery.
Yeah,
I had a couple of varieties that were a bit more water than the other ones, like the brandy boys
one.
Were.
Oh, brandy boys.
I mean, they were meaty, but they had a lot of water in them. But I grew these better boys, which you can never go wrong with a better boy.
True.
And also, I think it was a better beef steak. Mm-hmm. So it was beef steak and a better boy hybrid. And those were really good. I used all those for salsa. I made 30 pounds of salsa so far.
Are you weighing every jar to get 30 pounds?
Well, I'm not weighing each jar, but I'm weighing the initial yield of of tomatoes that I throw into the pot.
Do you need more cilantro? Because I have cilantro that's about to be coriander.
Oof. That's rough.
Should have called.
That's rough. I did use your jalapenos one batch, though.
Okay.
I made a spicy batch.
Got more.
So I'll have to bring some in for you if you like spicy.
Willing to try.
Dean likes spicy.
No, he doesn't, but he talks big.
He does talk big. You're actually right. He likes spicy, but he can't handle spicy.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation.
It's kind of fun to watch it unfold, honestly. It's not even spicy salsa, but it's technically hot.
Just gets him every time.
Jalapeno's the worst. I didn't go all out and use the scorpion and the reaper peppers. And
I literally had a neighbor make a peach mango salsa, like a chutney.
Okay. Oh, sure. Yeah. Like a fruit salsa.
Yeah. It was so good. I think I ate the entire jar before I told anybody else it was even in our house.
Yeah. That's exactly what you do with that.
Yes.
See, what you do with that stuff is you do some coconut breaded shrimp and you throw those in a taco shell with a little bit of lettuce. You sprinkle that mango salsa on top with an amaretto vinaigrette.
And just like that, we're a cooking show.
Look at that. My cooking, my cooking is coming out of nowhere.
Oh, but you said coconut.
Coconut. Yeah. Coke.
No.
And nut.
Can't do.
Oh, amazing. Delicious.
My dad always used to say coconut made his heart stop. That's how much he didn't like it.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Yeah. What are you going to do, though, right? It's nothing you can change.
Nope. You just got to work around that. So, all right. Working around. Well, we plan to have a guest today. I haven't quite seen her yet, but we are excited to see that Cassie with Great Harvest Bread will likely be joining us today.
Yeah, she definitely will.
Lunch is coming.
Mm-hmm. I haven't eaten today except for just a few clementines I've had for breakfast and then a plate full of chips. I've been saving up for whatever she's going to bring in so I get like the full effect. Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Good, Justin. Just real quick, you ought to start a new species of tomato called Attaboy.
Attaboy, I like it. I'll give it to you. That's great.
Okay.
Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you. Oh, that's great.
Oh, nice work, Tom. I like his thoughts.
had to be quick on the finger there. The soundboard was turned off and everything. Wasn't expecting that.
So, as weather is concerned.
Weather, serious talk.
So, I've had a lot of folks who are to the northwest of us up around that Devil's Lake area, and they have had a tremendous amount of rain. There was like an inch of rain on Friday. They're getting rain again today.
Sure, yeah. There was one spot, I don't remember the exact station, but the Endon station was reporting over 3 inches in one spot from last week.
This is not helpful during a harvest-type season.
Yeah, but are we really harvesting right now, or are we in between?
They're in that region. There is still wheat that's out in the field.
Okay.
And there is a high level of vomitoxin. Which is
Wadahama?
Right, vomitoxin's
a
disease.
I got this one, too.
Oh, no. Humum on kunapakawa.
There we go.
Thanks.
That was pretty good.
What was
the word?
Vomitoxin.
Oh, my geez.
So I had a listener actually reach out as well last week and say, why are we seeing so much this year? A lot of it has to do with the wet weather we've had.
Well, I think we need to what is it?
So it's a fungal disease in wheat.
Okay.
And it's on the head. And it will change the quality, can change the taste. You can be docked for that as far as what you're going to get at the elevator. But here's what we're going to do. Thursday this week, Dr. Andrew Friskup from NDSU is going to join us. And we are going to talk specifically about vomitoxin because he's the expert and I'm not. And I am looking forward to having Andrew come in and help us answer those questions.
That'll be very
yes,
enlightening, Bridget.
Well, I think.
I mean, I know we're going to have this conversation, but is it once you get it, can you get rid of
humum on
Kuna Pakawa.
No, it stays.
It stays. All right. So it's just an uphill battle after that.
Yes.
And I guess you can't even say that. It's just a brick wall. You're just stuck with it.
You're stuck right there. Uh-oh. Yeah. And we've had a lot of high vomitoxin levels in cereal crops this year.
Sure. Well, I'll be looking forward to that conversation. I'll start scratching down my questions.
This is just an example of when listeners send us questions, we go find the right people to answer them. Because you and I are sort of good, but we aren't perfect at this.
Well, time. Let's be real. You're good. I just talk.
I don't know. I thought you were pretty good. And meanwhile, the weather. We should probably do that.
Yeah, the weather. Well, I'll tell you what. It's a nice day out there right now. It's a little humid, a little warm. It's 87. I mean, get that, 87 degrees. It's the 16th of September. Not unheard of. I mean, it's not record heat by any means. Our record is 94, set back in 2018. But, you know, we're getting up there. It's warm. And we might very well top out at 90 today. I think most areas are going to be stuck in the upper 80s. Southeast winds are at 14 miles an hour. And we'll see those bouncing around 10 and 25, including those wind gusts throughout the afternoon. And we're going to be watching for some thunderstorms to be developing, or at least potential for them. Not very exactly clear in what specific section of our region they're going to pop up. Just sporadic random pop-up thunderstorms basically is what we'll watch. There's one over Carrington right now, there's one north of Devil's Lake, and there's a little line stretching up towards Langdon, and we'll watch for the rest of the area to kind of, I don't want to say fill in, but within that area you're going to start seeing some pop-up thunderstorms throughout this afternoon. And those storms will hold the potential of being on the strong to severe side throughout the day and this evening, with the main concern being hail and wind, although an isolated tornado unlikely,
tornado
cannot be ruled out. So
really?
Not likely. I would put money on a tornado not happening, but it could, if that makes sense.
I remember tornado warnings near Northwood in November, probably 15 years ago. Is there a chance that we could have tornadoes that late again?
Oh,
Is that very unusual?
I couldn't even answer that. I would speculate no.
There's your homework.
But we'll have to do a little digging into that.
All right.
You know, I'll that'd be interesting. So November, there was a tornado warning here in North Dakota. I'm assuming December, January, February are probably the only months that there haven't been.
But I bet you'll find out.
I will have to do some digging and see what is the earliest and latest warning. Because I doubt we've had one in December, because Minnesota just broke that record a couple of years ago with their first tornado warning in December ever.
Minnesota always trying to do better than us.
Yeah, they try.
They'll keep trying.
Yep, they can keep the tornadoes, I guess, if that's what they're after.
Absolutely, but they won't get the great guests that we do, and our next great guest will be Cassie Wistie. Mm-hmm. She is with Great Harvest Bakery and Cafe right here in Fargo. We'll be talking to her right after this. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us, and a huge thank you to our sponsors for our Here We Grow project. Two of them would include Ellingson Drainage. For those of you up in that Devil's Lake area, then we get lots of rainfall. I bet you're thinking about some drainage situations, and there's a lot of sloughs up there. And we also want to say thank you to Dairyland Seed. They have been super helpful to us, providing us with an outstanding hybrid. We're looking for good yield, great dry down, and getting ready to get into the field sooner than you might expect.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, with Ellingson and Dairyland, we have Dairyland coming on the show on Friday. We'll have Ellingson next week with Ellingson Drainage. And Ellingson is going to help me answer yet another question from a listener about some drainage and water commission questions, et cetera. So it is great fun to be able to do that kind of homework and get answers. Today, our homework came in the edible form.
Nice.
Our guest is Cassie Wistie. She is with Great Harvest Bread Company. I will tell you, when Justin was like, I've been holding back on eating anything extra for today.
I haven't eaten yet.
He's here. He's in for this deal. So talk to us about what you brought. We don't have Cassie's mic working yet. Well, we're going to fix that because we want to hear what she has to say. I heard a click.
Hello.
Oh, okay. I'm back.
We just didn't have it plugged in all the way.
Okay.
All right.
What shall we be eating?
Yeah. So I brought you guys lunch. This is the lunch hour.
Yes.
And so a little treat. I know what it's like to be hustling and bustling. And sometimes you get out early on a Monday morning and you don't get to do anything for yourself. So, So we brought two Louisville chicken salad sandwiches. Mm. The Louisville chicken salad sandwich is one of our top sandwiches in our store. It's made with an herbed seasoned mayo, and then we roast our own pecans in the store with lots of different seasonings, and then just kind of put that one together. And then the other sandwich we brought you was a pepper blue roast beef and a turkey baja.
Yum.
It's got some avocado. Mm. Yeah.
No, I love that idea. Okay, so as I'm over here chewing away.
Get at it.
So the Louisville chicken salad, you said. Yes.
Absolutely delicious, by the way.
What kind of bread are we having here?
Yeah, so I believe that we put the Louisville on a potato dill today for mm-hmm. you. And then the other ones probably are, I'm trying to remember. I was in front, I watched them get made. I believe the premium white then is the other bread for those. And then we do, like you're eating the turkey baja mm-hmm. on our honey whole wheat.
Mm. Okay, I got to swallow. This is fantastic. All right. One of the things that we did, we pulled up your website as well. And I'm looking here about where Great Harvest gets their bread, or excuse me, their wheat for their breads. A lot of it coming from the Golden Triangle over in Montana. You're headquartered in Dillon.
Yes.
Have you been to the Dillon site? And is that where everything originates for you if you're not stone grinding yourself, that you're bringing everything over from headquarters?
We go to training in Dillon. That's where the test kitchen is. And so they open up that test kitchen, 5-6 times a year, small, just downtown old, you know, it's got that feeling that everyone just loves.
Yep.
And, the test kitchen opens up, you know, like I said, just a few times a year, and it's for owners that are going there to learn the trade and how to bake and things like that. And then the very cool thing about it is, the last week or so that you're there, they open up the doors where you do a run through of what it's like to run your own bakery.
Mm.
So you get up early that morning, you bake all the goodies, you bake all the bread, and all the owners are there, you know, and then you get that feeling wash over you where you're like, oh my gosh, is this what I signed on to do?
Right.
Because everybody from the neighboring communities come out, and there's literally a door, a line going out the door. People order just because it's only open, like I said, a few times a year. So everybody loves it. And then what they do is all the money that's raised goes to either a local student for a scholarship or a local organization. They usually pick two or three things. And so all the money that gets made is all donated. So that's really great too.
That is phenomenal. I love the philanthropy part of that and what you're doing and teaching. You know, also while reading on the website, and you have a statement, a quality statement that comes from your CEO. And one of the things that I liked so much that it says, you are confident that your wheat is not genetically engineered, because there is no genetically engineered wheat currently available anywhere in the world. The only thing I can tell you is, as an update to this, there are now four countries, and the U.S. is the fourth one, that's going to have a drought-tolerant engineered wheat, but it's not available yet. Mm-hmm. So your statement is completely true.
Yep.
And drought tolerance is a little bit different. We need to raise wheat in a lot of places in this world to feed people, and water conditions concern them. So having this ability to eventually have that wheat isn't going to affect anybody. We're doing great things in wheat breeding these days, whether we're doing it through through growing it genetically in the field, or if we're doing gene editing, it's all very easy and done. And you guys are so responsible. You said no chemicals were present above the EPA's pesticide residue limits. And that makes great sense. You have responsible farmers who are following the labeled rules. So all of the folks at NDSU who are part of this are like, yeah, you guys are doing all the right things.
Yeah. And I love that part of it too. I mean, they take what we do very seriously, you know, and they pop in, they have this wonderful relationship with the farmers. They have a wonderful relationship with the mills. They have, you know, and so they're just walking beside each other hand by hand the whole time.
That's super cool. Tell me a little bit about the bakery and the cafe as well, because that's a recent thing that's been going on with you guys. A little backstory on what it is and hours of operations for the bakery.
Absolutely. So our small bakery is what in the franchise district of Great Harvest has been called what we would call a legacy bakery. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the very first. I'm so fortunate that our store has been around for, we're going on 36 years in the community.
That's awesome.
And so just woven into the fabric of the history of the community. But that being said, about 10, 15 years ago, the franchise itself took a turn. You know, they decided that we all know that we make great bread, and we all know that we can make great sandwiches with that bread. And so they started dabbling in, you know, sandwiches, salads, things like that. And again, making sure that everything's house made. Mm-hmm. So all of our sauces, all of our dressings are everything that we make in house. And so, if you wanted to buy a Great Harvest today somewhere, you would have to have the bakery cafe model. You couldn't just bake bread.
Sure.
And so what we did is we wanted to align ourselves with other really great harvests across the country. And so we did soups and sandwiches before, but it was all takeout. You could just get it and then leave. And so, you know, if you know where we're located down there on 1523 University Drive, you would know that that part of town is an older part of town, mm-hmm. doesn't have a lot of sit down places, but is close to that clinics, is close to those schools. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I just keep telling myself it's almost like a service that you're doing.
Right.
You've opened up this space for people to gather, and we have just enjoyed seeing people come in and do that.
Right. Well, that's super cool. And when can people come in and sit mm-hmm. down and even just view the bakery and the cafe?
Yeah. So we're open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Our lunches right now are running from 11 to 4. Mm-hmm. You can get breakfast sandwiches any time of the day. And then Saturdays right now, until we get some more staff up underneath us and trained and confident, we're just doing the breakfast sandwiches on Saturdays. Okay. And I think that's what people want, right? They just want to, maybe they're going to do some mm-hmm. shopping and get out and get a quick breakfast sandwich. But yeah, we're just doing breakfast sandwiches on Saturdays, and that's from 6 to 2.
This Baja turkey is fantastic. And what this brings to mind for me is if you're coming to town for a parts run and you're picking up things, you should grab lunch. And you could call ahead, I'm sure, and get lunch made to take back to the field with you from Great Harvest Bread Company, because this is outstanding.
Well, I mean, look at the way they come packaged, too. It's not just slapped together in a piece of paper. Yeah. I mean, these are neatly packed. You could stack a bunch on top of each other, throw them in the cab, and then put them in the tractor and pull it out mm-hmm. a couple hours later if you wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely. We can load them up into a box if you want them a little more sturdier or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our bread is so hearty. I always laugh when people pick up a loaf of our bread, you know, when we hand it over to them, you know, they're like, whoa, this is really, you know.
This ain't fluffy like the old, Wonder Bread.
I know.
Well, there's a reason for that, because on the website, growers, the farmers that are producing this wheat, know that a variation in the wheat crop can really change the flavor, the size, the shape of a loaf. And so you do 100 test bakes per year mm-hmm. to make sure that you are getting the best wheat samples possible being sent in, where then you start your stone mill grinding to sample and making sure it's all high quality.
And we send in loaves as well a few times a year. We don't have to, but if we would like to, we can send in a loaf of ours, and they grade it mm-hmm. and they tell us what they see, what they taste, what they feel, what we could do better, you know, and we track everything in the store. Oh, yeah. And so we actually love it if people come to us and they notice something that's just not right mm-hmm. with a loaf that they get, mm-hmm. because then that allows us to go back and find out what was the temperatures of the bread that day. Mm-hmm. How long did they bake? Was it a soft dough? Was it a harder dough? We track all of that.
Oh, wow.
And it's just a really nice educational piece for our staff too.
I bet humidity has to really be mm-hmm. an effect on
every
what you're baking.
Every day, yep. And you know, there's a lot of math. And so mm-hmm. I never liked math. So I get to use it every day. But every day we come in and we record what's the temperature in the store. Mm-hmm. We record what's the temperature of the flour. And then we have an equation that we use that tells us this is the temperature of water we need to use. And so all of it's tracked every day.
Look at that. Look at all the math and science going into this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool little operation you got.
Yeah.
I admire that. It scares me that I would have to do that much math and science, but God bless you, Cassie.
At 4 a.m.?
No dice. Okay, now that I've eaten like a hog over here, these are fabulous.
And oh, everything's great.
You have a whole list of specials that is going on here mm-hmm. into September. It's not just about the sandwiches. Today happens to be apple cinnamon chip swirl. There's a jalapeno cornbread. So those of you who later on the weekend, maybe for tailgating, you want to get ready to have chili at your tailgate, You could get the cornbread, and I bet it freezes beautifully too.
Okay. Yeah.
Salted caramel cookies.
Yeah, like a muffins and cookies, cream cheese, scones.
Yeah. You know,
it's got everything over there.
Sometimes scones get kind of a bad rap, you know, because they're really dry or dense.
Sure.
And I think we have what's actually called a drop scone. And so it's more of a mix between like a biscuit and a muffin or a scone or whatever. It's a lot moister, but I think that cream cheese really helps. Who doesn't love cream cheese?
Well, and some of the early birds who might say, well, geez, I'm going to the field early. We're trying to get a jump on this before a rainstorm, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You guys open at 6.
Yep.
So you can be picking up breakfast for the field.
And, you know, we have a lot of people that if we know ahead of time that you want to order something, we will, you know, think we do that in our predictions. We make extra that day. We can set it aside. You can come pick it up that evening and have it for the morning.
And I would imagine for a lot of our ag retailers out there, they've got large crews that are in the field. Or they are doing plot tours right now for supper. This is kind of a refreshing change. I mean, I'm all good with roast beef and mashed potatoes, but after the fourth day in a row, I'm like, Lord, help me. So this could be something really nice and different if they were to give you a call, Cassie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just recommendations that I would do.
They did. And Cassie, for anyone who wants to go, find out a little more information about it. Maybe find out what the breads of the day are, the muffins, the cookies, you know, the menu, what they can order, what they can plan to order next. What's the website again that they can go to check that out?
Yeah, they can go to www.greatharvestfargond.com because there's more than one Fargo. So you got to
I found it right away though.
And then, or if they're on social media, you know, we post our bake schedule online on Instagram. We try to put it in a few places.
That's great. And what was the website again?
www.greatharvestfargond.com.
Awesome. Well, appreciate it, Cassie. Again, everything is great. I can't wait to finish the rest of my lunch here.
And sorry, I was eating.
Yeah, you're eating it. That's all right. That's all right. We'll share.
Shoving it in as fast as I can.
All right. Well, we got to catch bottom of the hour news. When we come back, we got a few more ag topics, another check on the forecast. And if you want to join in on the conversation, 701-293-9000. Bridget, I'm going to have to learn how to make that attaboy tomato.
Yes, you will.
We'll have to do some science here when we come back. This is Weather and Ag in Focus. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for rejoining us. 139.35 on this afternoon. A quick check on your currents. It's 87 degrees outside. It is partly cloudy with a southeast wind at 14 miles per hour. We will watch for that chance of storms to continue through this afternoon, evening, as well as tonight. We've got a full rundown on the forecast coming up. Just got done visiting with Cassie from Great Harvest Bread Company here in Fargo, and Bridget, I'll tell you what, her sandwiches or bread, everything there is just absolutely delicious. And during our little commercial break there, we just found out that they do catering as well.
We do. And so I realize there are listeners who are like, oh, you guys got paid to just say that. Actually, no, we didn't.
No.
We got fed for sure. And that was good. But when I think about this time of the year, we have a lot of listeners who are attending or putting on plot tours. What's a plot tour? You are going out to the field. You are actually visually inspecting the soybeans, the corn, the whatever's planted there to decide if that's the product you want to buy for next year so that you can get ready to start planting your 2025 crop. If you're going to a plot tour, if you are hosting a plot tour, if you are an ag retailer and you have people who are dumping trucks during harvest, those that are working in the office with all of the billing, they are spread and fall fertilizer. Catering from Great Harvest Bread Company would be a great idea to feed all those hungry mouths at those variety of events. Keep them in mind.
Yeah, for sure. If you want to join in the program here, add to the conversation, 701-293-9000, Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line, emails weather or ag at flagfamily.com, comment boxes there on Facebook, YouTube Live, where we live stream just about each and every single day. You can also go back and check out our past interviews, ag topics, gags, fun stuff on the YouTube channel. Again, that's Weather and Ag in Focus. And that's also where our Here We Grow videos are at. Mm-hmm. That's been a fun project so far this year. We got a good handful, 16 episodes out or something, 14?
Something like that. And, we just did one about corn facts. Mm-hmm. You know, like how tall does corn get?
And so tall.
It's kind of funny. I referred to it as the corn cob. Mm. And I had a farmer from Iowa say, no, That's the ear, the cob is left after you take the kernels off. So,
yeah, he told you.
Thank you for being much more specific. I was told. A little general. I will go with that. It's okay to help me. It's okay to help me with my putting, you might say. It's radio. Everybody helps.
Oh, it sure is. But yeah, but that's kind of fun. If you want to follow what we've been doing, we've been growing 20 acres of corn throughout this year. Last year we did soybeans, but we're kind of documenting the process of what it takes and what goes into raising that side field of corn you're driving by on the interstate usually a few times a year.
It really is. And I'm thankful to see that folks are participating. They're sending us their bushels guesses of what they think our yield's going to be. And there's a lot of variability because we were wet. We were dry. We were kind of wet. Now we're not really sure. Frankly, I'm hoping you bring a little bit more moisture this way because right
of
now
course.
It'd be like concrete getting sugar beets out of this ground.
Yeah, of course. Most of the area should get 1 to 2 inches of rain over the next 7 to 10 days. A few localized areas are going to see potentially a bit more than that with some entrainment of thunderstorms that could occur throughout tonight and again for tomorrow night. But I think tonight would be the worst. The bigger threat for that potential of entraining storms. And I think that's more going to be north of our area for tonight. Now, why don't we put it along the Highway 2 corridor and give or take 20, 30 miles along that corridor is kind of going to be where that entrainment line should set up.
Okay.
And there could be a few localized areas that see, you know, that 2 to 5 inch rain, but most areas aren't going to get that. But there'll be a few spots where the heaviest storms do entrain where they pick up several inches of rainfall out of it. But in general, 1 to 2 inches tonight, a few spots are going to see that 10th of an inch to a half inch with storms that roll through, and then it's just done for the rest of the night. So you get that brief downpour, then it's done. Other spots it might rain for a few hours throughout the night. That again, that's going to be more to the north. And we're just going to kind of copy paste sure. these next several days with what the weather is going to be. And we'll run down that full forecast again here for you. For the rest of this afternoon, we're going to be watching for a few pop-up thunderstorms out there around the region. That's going to continue throughout this evening and into the overnight hours. And then a few of those storms could also be on the strong to severe side. We'll be looking for the main threat being wind and hail, although an isolated tornado is possible. It is a bit on the unlikely side of possibilities for this evening. Temperatures will top in the upper 80s for today. We'll drop down close to 70 for tonight. So, Bridget, really not getting too cold. I mean, that should be good for corn to drop down to a low near 70 tonight. And we'll warm back to the mid and upper 80s with a bit of humidity for tomorrow afternoon. Again, there is going to be a chance for storms late in the day and into your Tuesday night. A couple of those storms could be on the strong side. If you dodge the showers, just expect partly to mostly cloudy skies Tuesday afternoon going into Tuesday night. I should say partly cloudy for the day, more cloudy Tuesday night. With temperatures again, Tuesday night close to 70 degrees. On Wednesday, most of the day looks dry. Can't rule out a pop-up storm late in the day again with a high closer to 80. And we'll see another chance for storms coming in on Thursday with highs close to 80. Following that, we dry things out Friday and Saturday, then we bump those rain chances back up Sunday and Monday of next week with what looks to be another wider spread rain event, a little more evenly spread out.
I have to laugh. I just got a message from a listener that said, eating and hosting is kind of a thing on your show. And I said, yes, but I did realize earlier when I was chewing, I should back away from the mic because there was a bit of celery in that chicken salad.
Crunch,
so,
crunch, crunch.
I hope that entices the rest of you to want to go out to have lunch at whoever is bringing us food that day.
Hey, Addison, what's the name of that that thing, that bit that people do where they eat really close to a microphone?
Oh, that ASMR or something like
God,
that.
Oh,
yeah.
God, I hate that stuff.
They get like super sensitive mics and then they'll just sit really close to it and just like
eat.
I like that. That's good. No. Let me help you out here. Well,
please stop. Please stop.
Yeah, they'll like go to like Walmart and just buy like a bag of chips and just really slowly like crunch them in front of
their
mic.
And they're crunching. And sound of somebody eating is one of the things that just irks me the most. And then the other one is the sound of water. And not like a river or a waterfall, but when you take a cup of water and you pour it into another cup and you get that over exaggerated sound of sloshing water in a microphone, it drives me nuts.
We need more for you to do.
And I cannot stand it. Well, okay. I listen to all those stupid commercials on the radio for soda and stuff, and they're like, drink Dr. Pepper, it'll make you tall and beautiful. And then it's the sound of a Dr. Pepper getting poured over ice, and I just can't stand it. It just bugs me.
I guess I'm not drinking enough Dr. Pepper.
In person, it's not a thing. It doesn't bother me in person, but through a microphone or a speaker, oh God, I hate it.
Well, it's so much more exaggerated.
I hate it so much. It's up there with Starbucks. Actually, it tops Starbucks.
Okay, I'm going to move on to ag news.
You don't want to add on to things that irk you, Bridget?
Not today. But don't worry.
Chemtrails?
They'll be back tomorrow, and we'll have more things that irk me then. And I didn't even mean Dean. All right. So Denmark has reported that they have cases of blue tongue happening in the eastern side of their country. This is an insect-borne viral disease, harmless to humans, fatal to ruminant animals, particularly sheep. It actually causes a blue tongue. The animal will have a fever, mouth ulcers, swelling of the face and tongue, and that blue tongue color is known as cyanosis, which is stemming from a lack of oxygen. There is not a vaccine or anything like that. This is carried by a small mite, and so really they have to control the insect in order to prevent the blue tongue from happening, particularly in the sheep population. Not that Denmark's a major huge country of sheep production, but things like that can indeed spread. That's why we're very careful about not allowing non-inspected fruits, vegetables, et cetera, into our country, because if that happens, we can bring those tiny little insects with that can cause problems.
Yeah, you probably don't want that. Just leads into the whole biosecurity conversation on why it's important.
Very important. Very important. And when we come back, I want to visit about the fact that USDA has announced some dollars to be spent on rural electrification to try to increase clean power. I have an argument. I mean, I think it's okay that they want clean power, but I think there's some other things we need instead.
Ooh, we like arguments.
All right, that's what we're here for.
All right, we'll do that next. This is Weather and Ag in Focus. And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 151 701-293-9000 Red Wing Shoe Line. Get you connected here to the studio. We're going to hit one of our ag topics here, and we were kind of teasing that, and you got a little bit of an argument to
it. I kind of do.
We'll see if we can go back and forth a little bit, Donna, or maybe.
So
USDA grants locally for clean?
They did. So they're doubling down on some dollars. USDA is giving $7.3 billion with a B in financing to rural electric cooperatives to build clean energy for rural communities. They're all worried about coal-fired plants and how terrible they are, and frankly, they're not as terrible as one would think. Here we are pretty stable in our power grid. I realize there's other places. I have a kid in Oklahoma, and she's out of power more often than we are up here, to be perfectly honest. Ooh. There's some fragility to a lot of the power grids in a number of areas. But one of the first grants was delivered to Basin Electric Power Cooperative that serves Montana, North, and South Dakota. Great for Basin Electric. That's awesome. Take your unfair share of those dollars whenever you can. But my argument is this. Rural broadband internet is horrific. In so many areas, one in five households, actually, I think it might even be more than that. But off the top of my head, I think it's like one in five households really just have crap for internet. In today's modern world, if you are trying to do schoolwork from home or homeschooling, if you work from home, even if you're trying to order parts for your equipment and you don't have decent internet, it hampers you so much.
It's a real struggle. It really sets you back a good ways.
I mean, frankly, I still have an argument about why we have crappy cellular service in Western Cass County. I have to turn on a booster, and I'm in Cass County, North Dakota. So a booster in my pickup and one in my house. So I look at it as it's great. Taxpayers are going to pay for that $7.8 billion for a long time, but we have greater concerns as well.
You know, I think you got a fair argument there, Bridget. So I really don't see much of a flaw in it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
If I can get better phone service out of this for both of us, I will handsomely reward you.
Well, I just don't get, like you said, in today's age, today's time, why do we still have dead spots? Like, I get there are spots that there are just no people, especially in rugged terrain and out in the middle of the sticks.
But I can get
the
better.
Rockies. But why can you not get a good signal in Western Cass County 40 miles off the interstate?
On a clear line of sight to a phone tower, to a cellular tower. I mean, honestly.
Well, that's because it's not, it's not your brand's tower.
I guess that's true.
So that's the other thing with it. I don't get why all these towers, it hasn't been a thing that they get linked yet.
They used to. I remember a story a while back. Gosh, I wish I had a better memory.
Data roaming.
Yes.
You can still do that, but why just that you got signal, you use that tower.
But there was a federal mandate that was removed. And it used to be that you could mm-hmm. share towers if you were AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, whoever, and they shared towers. Now they don't have to do that anymore. And so that has really created a joke for a lot of people's phone
service.
Well,
yeah, and you know, like I get it. Like, that's how do you get people to switch to your company? Well, we got the largest area of coverage. Like, I get that and
not
a whole
me.
Marketing thing. You got to find a different provider then.
Well,
you got to get like that Cricket Wireless for Starlink.
Thank God you didn't say the one with the big giant buttons for the old people.
What is that, Boost Mobile?
No, it was like the grasshopper, the cricket, some insect, whatever it was. I would have had to get that.
Cricket Wireless. That's what it was.
But I also think that we have to look at the fact we are holding people back in telemed services who live in remote areas because they don't have decent broadband. They don't have decent cellular service. You live in Fargo, you can say, well, what are you guys worried about? You have a doctor here. But you get to Montana where you got to drive 90 miles to get to a decent sized clinic or any sort of a healthcare facility.
Well, there's places like that in North Dakota.
Yes.
Isn't it like rural ambulance times are at like 40 minutes or something
spots? Yeah, because think about it. The volunteers have to hustle to get to the ambulance and then hustle to get to the incident, the emergency.
Sure.
And frankly, if your cellular phone service works like crap, you're going to have a tough time getting there.
Going back to the broadband internet thing, especially in rural parts of North Dakota, even here in Cass County, I suppose there's areas that struggle with it. On a farm level, how does that affect the equipment that a lot of folks use today, especially on operations the size that we have in North Dakota, where you really have to utilize that technology to get things done effectively or efficiently?
A lot of things in your tractors are done by satellite, so that helps tremendously for connectivity.
Satellite will be different than broadband.
It would be.
Or internet, wireless.
All right, so now you've got a remote bin site where you're trying to make sure your grain dryer doesn't go up in flames
sure.
when you're drying corn mm-hmm. later this year. Then you need good connectivity to make sure that that's a safe situation. Same can be said for livestock. If you've got livestock on a remote pasture and you can't monitor what's going on with your water tanks, et cetera, that can be a problem. And I'm sure there's someone out there saying, well, how can you not get to those places? Things happen. You know, if you have some other sort of an emergency, you don't get to take care of your regular day-to-day items. So mm-hmm. you got to plan for the worst in many cases.
Be interesting to know what the connectivity is across the state. Maybe we'll have to add a little homework. I don't like giving myself homework.
Oh, no,
but I'm kind of interested on this. So we got a guy.
I got a guy.
You got a guy?
I'm pretty sure if I talked to Chris Sherman with Tech Support Farm, I bet he'd be able to help us figure out the connectivity situation.
I think it'd be interesting just to know what the connectivity percentage is across the state, and of those spots, where what is the speed versus needed on the internet to get stuff done? You know, like, what's the percentage of the state that has and does not have internet? Of those spots that have low internet, what are the speeds that they're getting? What are those speeds required to get things done at their operation? Because speed does come down to a thing, but you don't need to have the world's fastest internet to get things done either.
I just made a note to book Chris. We might not get him on here for a couple of weeks.
That's because we're booked out.
I hate to tell you this.
The show is booked.
You might not want to know that, but I do have every day booked for the rest of this month.
And a lot of people run into that problem, like, oh, who are we going to have for a guest on the show? And we're like, we're good for like 2 months.
So sometimes I feel like I should apologize because there are things that happen that take us a little while to get to, but that's twofold. One, we get that person in. Two, we do our research so we're not just shooting our mouths off without knowing.
Yeah, I try and do that sometimes, though.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. No problem. I think that's going to wrap it up for the show today. We appreciate you joining us. I got a full rundown of the forecast coming on again with the Jay Thomas Show, which will be starting up here next. Yeah, about 7 minutes or so. Until then, everybody have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, for another edition of Weather and Ag in Focus.